Turn up the champagne, pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Make yourself at my home, tell me where you've been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this. Sometimes you gotta stay in, and you know where I live. Yeah, you know what we is. Sometimes you gotta stay in. Welcome to my house, baby.
And greetings. Welcome to a Monday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Zagura and Wilhelm are off. The birthday boy celebrating last night at WWE Raw down in Columbus. If you haven't seen any of those photos, looks like an entertaining evening and weekend for one Nathan Zagura. And Wilhelm, I saw a picture of Wilhelm shooting guns in Maine on vacation. So I can't even imagine what's going on with those guys. But both of them were the entire week off. Jason Gibbs in the hot seat today and tomorrow, joined by one and only Gerard Cherry. Good morning. Good afternoon, sir. It's a little different shift for you today.
It is, Jay. But you remember, I actually started out on this bad boy.
You did.
Now, I got kind of kicked to the curve. I don't know why, but it is what it is.
Well, you got promoted.
But I remember back in the day, when I used to hear the Notorious and Nate Dogg do their thing for a couple hours. So, yeah, man, it's good to be back. We're going to have a great time for the couple days that I am here. So I'm looking forward to chopping it up with you, my man, and getting this bad boy started.
Yeah, we are, if my math is correct, we are 24 days away from training camp and starting it all over again.
Gosh.
I know. You know, that it's a blessing and a curse. The Cavs playoff run is, you know, what happened and everything that came down with that. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, in 5 weeks, training camp starts. Whereas where the Cavs were bad, you had 2.5 months to get ready.
Right. So, nah, it's definitely – Cavs have definitely made our job easier, because normally I call this time of the year where you really earn your check, because you have to come up with stuff because not much is going on. But couple that with the fact that the Indians are playing extremely well. We've been – I mean, the gods of sports broadcasting for Cleveland have shined on us. But I will say this, as I think about a player, being a player – from a football standpoint, with training camp being 24 days away, you got about 1 week left where you can kind of still be out and about doing your thing, and then you really have to hone in and understand that, man, you got to get your mind right and your focus right, and especially for this football team, the Browns, that we're talking about, in that you're starting from zero. I know everyone starts with a record of 0-0, but you have a new coordinator on both sides of the ball. Yes, there's some familiarity with the defensive side because of Horton being here before, but what Hughes bringing to the table is going to be brand new. You probably have an RG3, your starter, a guy who's going to have to learn a new offense, and how he adapts to the whole situation is going to be really the big picture of how this team really goes, because at the end of the day, it's a team game, yes, but how your quarterback plays has such a great importance to that overall effort and goals of what you're trying to achieve.
All right, so going back to what you were just talking about, as a player, you break the mini camp, you break for the final time midpoint of June, second or third week in June. It is a little bit of a party time.
Oh, you got, if you about that, it's about 2 or 3 weeks of just like, hey, man, where can I go? Can I go international? Do I keep it regional? Do I keep it to the Americas? Do I even go over to Asia? But you got to do that early on. Right now, that cannot be in your plan, because you have to start honing things down, because that 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, your body will feel that if you have a hard enough training camp. And really, you just have to start getting your mind right. That's what it's all about, getting your mind right.
All right, so what is getting the mind right? What do you mean
by that? I'm glad you asked that. Getting your mind right is getting yourself first physically prepared to go through physical hell from training camps for a whole entire season. Or where you're going to say to yourself, my body, get ready to be sacrificed. Be ready to be used and do things when you don't feel like doing it, but you do it anyway. Getting your mind right is pushing all those distractions to the side when you have money in the bank, when you have access to all the cars and all the stars and all the clubs and things like that, and putting that at bay and saying, you know what? That's not what I'm doing this for. I'm here to achieve a championship. And that's the hardest things to put at bay, because a lot of guys get more caught up in the trappings of the game more so than the game. And we've seen that in full display with someone's name who I'm not going to mention, but he's doing his thing right now as we speak. Or did he finally honor that pause that he said he was going to give himself?
I haven't seen anything.
So maybe he is doing that. And if it is the case, we'll good see. For him, praying for him, wish him well. But my whole point being is that that's what you have to face and that's what you deal with. Do I focus on the game or do I focus on what comes along with the game? Or do I dwell in both? Do I dive in both? You got to be committed to one another. You can't have two masters, man. You can't, because when you do that, you split, you divide it, and you get conquered through the course of that season. And when you have a whole team thinking that way, that leads to 3-13, 4-12, 2-14, 1-15, or 5-11. And heck, even 6-10. So that's where you have to be as a team collectively, but it starts with you as an individual. So right now, I hope these guys are out there, Jay, doing sprints on their own, lifting weights on their own, watching film on their own. That's getting your mind right, doing those things on your own, not being told by Hugh Jackson and company, hey, you have to go here. We have to have you here and doing that. You got to be a self-motivator, a self-initiator, and do it yourself. And then hopefully with that collective effort of everyone doing that, your mind is right when you hit training camp with the ideal of, hey, man, I'm not here to collect checks. I'm here to win some games.
How much of the time that you talk about preparing is spent getting ready to pass that conditioning test on that very first day? Like, is that a whole separate training regimen?
It is, because what I would do, Jay, is I would find out what the conditioning test is, and 2 weeks before the conditioning test is even taken, I'm going to know that I can pass it. You don't wait till the week of,
heck no,
or the day of the conditioning test to know whether or not you can pass that thing. That's just irresponsibility. So if you have that taking place, and one of my boys last year, who I root for him like crazy, and I was just blown away that he did not pass the conditioning test, because that's a sign of being unprofessional. There's no excuse for that. Now, it's not like it's a quiz or a surprise. They tell you, when you come back, here's what you're going to do. Some people run 20-40s time. Some people run 16-110s time. Some people do this, run a mile. Makes no sense to me, because when do you ever run a straight mile in a football game? But some people do that. But even so, with that being said, there is no excuse not to pass that test unless you have an injury and you're just trying to get through and not let them know that you have an injury. But it's going to obviously surface, so there is no excuse for that. So that's part of it too, Jay. And then also just working on your game, making sure you know the playbook. Did you take notes during OTAs? Did you sneak a playbook out the building? an iPad?
Sure.
All those things. So there is no excuse to not come prepared. The question then goes back to what I just said. What are you truly about? Are you about living that life? Are you, I'm trying to say, is it dwelling? Are you dwelling in both spheres? And when you do that, man, you don't get much done. You just don't.
So when you're working out, is there X number of hours a day that you have to do it? Or is it just each guy's got his own regimen and you got to make sure that you're doing whatever it is that you put in place?
I think it should come close to, you can't mirror training camp by yourself, but it should be strenuous. But at the same time, back off some.
So like 2 hours worth of work, 2.5 hours?
3 hours for sure. And field work, you should always be working on your game. And I'm talking about, for instance, as a defensive back. I should be out on the field backpedaling, working on my breaks, working on how I read a receiver and how I drop in certain angles, how I come up and form tackle. Though I may be on the field imagine these things, I should be doing that, working on my craft, because it's going to show itself once I'm on the football field. And obviously, I should be lifting weights, I should be watching film, and I should be a student of the game. You never take that off. You never take that off. But for some reason, some people think you do.
Yes. I was going to say, no names, please, over the last few years, but we've seen that, unfortunately. So we'll get into more about Gerard's thoughts on, you know, the draft and the off season, and really, you know, what his views are as we get ready for training camp coming up in about 24 days. We also can't ignore the big topic going on today around the sports world. Although for some reason in the studio, we're watching Idea Stream on WVIZ.
Yeah, that's a good call, man. You must have kids.
What is Brenda doing in here?
PBS.
What the heck is going
PBS.
On? Fontana's on the other side. Fontana, I have no idea what Brenda was watching, but there's some kid's
maybe he wasn't watching
on Idea Stream.
Idea Stream?
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't shock me. He's got PBS on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, normally it's like a Weather Channel type deal.
Does he not like tennis? I mean, Wimbledon's on right now.
That's probably what it is.
It's on ESPN 1 and 2.
How do you do that?
Ugh. And tennis is on Fox Sports
as well?
Ohio.
But that's not even Wimbledon that's on Fox Sports Ohio. What is that? Can you go back to that, Jay?
Yeah, going back.
Let's see what that is. Because right now, that's like, okay, what tournament is this?
And you don't want to watch the Bryan brothers in men's doubles?
This is NetJetsTennis.com. This has to be an old match.
Yeah.
Because it says Roddick.
I have no idea what this is.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because
we're going to find out. We'll see what's going on. I don't know what's happening on the TV today, but obviously the big news of the day, if you've been hiding under a rock, is on the NBA side. Kevin Durant going to Golden State. And Gerard, the mega team, is truly that. I don't know who else is going to be on that basketball team, but their top four players are pretty gosh darn good.
Yeah, not the big three, the big four.
Yeah. They were trying to come up with a name this morning on Mike and Mike, and it's like, well, you can't do the Fab Four. You can't do the Fantastic Four. You know, what do you...
Why can't you do the Fantastic Four? That's perfect.
Because it came off of the movie.
You got alliteration. Like, well, the movie. Well, let's hope they're like that movie. Not too good.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what, Jay? I am surprised that he did make that move, because I just felt that he could sense that they were close and that they should have taken to the next step. But obviously, it shows you that there are some fractures in that relationship with he and Westbrook that wasn't as strong and as viable as it should have been, because if it was the case, he'd still be there. And just no doubt about that. And I just read an article about Steph Curry's, I guess he gave sitting, and that all he truly cares about is winning a championship. And when you do have that type of selfless acts taking place, that's what you need in team. And I think the real big issue with KD and Westbrook, even though they did some great things together, was I think there was that tension of, well, whose team is it? Who's going to take the shot? Who's not going to take the shot? And going to a place where you have the league MVP, unanimous at that, saying to you, hey, man, you can be the face. I don't care. I just want to win and set you up. And feeling that that's genuine and coming from a humble place, there's a lot to do with that. But one thing I do not think is going to be so smooth is Draymond Green's response to all this. I really don't think it, because he's already been volatile. He got upset, I believe, at OKC during the course of the regular season, where he didn't get shots and was complaining about that. So now you got to have shots for Steph. You got to have shots for KD. You got to have shots for Klay. Where does Dre fit in all that?
Yeah. And really, he's the leader of your basketball team.
Yeah, and that's one thing we did discover here.
Yeah.
That team's backbone, their sense of courage, and their sense of fortitude, when he was not on the court or not playing well, disappeared. He was their backbone. But no one's talking about that. And to a degree, no one's also talking about this Bogut situation as well. Because I felt the game changed tremendously. Tristan became dominant once Bogut went out. The Cavs became more brazen to go to the rim once Bogut went out. But the Warriors are saying that don't matter because they just shipped him off. And I wasn't surprised by Harrison Barnes. They couldn't wait to get him out of there. They were probably so mad at him.
I was just blown away that Dallas got him, offered him a max deal, because Dallas couldn't sign anybody else.
But gosh, and Jay, I will never belittle, begrudge, or besmirch anyone for taking money when they're going to give it to you.
Yeah, amen.
And if Dallas Mavericks want to throw out that much money,
there's a head scratcher,
no doubt about it. I mean, we could start with our boy Timothy. No one saw that coming.
He is making... He's now making more than Tristan Thompson will make per year with his contract, and he's making $1 million less than Kyrie Irving set to make in a year.
There you go. That right there speaks volumes of how crazy it is out there.
And we were all through the roof with how is Tristan Thompson a max player?
Right.
That contract looks fantastic now.
Yeah, Griffin Company are smiling like, thank you very much for signing your contract. But Dallas is forced to do something out of desperation. And whenever you're doing stuff out of desperation, nine times out of ten, it's not going to work in your favor. And I don't see how Harrison transforms him. He makes him competitive, but he doesn't take him to another level.
No, not at all. I mean, and that's, you know, the question here in Cleveland today. And we want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. You could tweet at the show at Browns_daily, at BGSU Gibbs, at JRCherry3. You know, if you're the Cavs, are you reacting to this? Do you need to go out? Do you need to make a deal? Do you need to go get somebody? You know, what is the response, or should there be no response other than let's get our own guys re-signed, namely J.R. Smith. Let's see what our team looks like next year, and let's see how they play. And then if we have to make a move at the All-Star break, we can make, you know, or at the trade deadline, we'll make a move.
Yeah, see, I get shot down for this, Jay, and I say the Cavs just need another big. They need some help. Now, obviously, Mozgov didn't give you much of anything. We need the Mozgov of last year, and had he had been that guy, they probably would have re-signed him. Or maybe they couldn't afford him. I don't know. Who knows? But with the Warriors situation and what they have done, it's still just one basketball out there. They still have to figure out a way to get their team chemistry in place. I think the Cavs have still not reached the highest level of what they can play. And we've seen them play some high-level basketball. I still believe Kevin Love has not completely shown you everything that he can bring to the table. Because once his shooting gets more consistent and on fire to what he's capable of doing, and he even more so figures out that role of how he can maximize what he's all asked to do in the confines of being third guy to LeBron and Kyrie, the sky's the limit. And Kyrie, he's going to take another elevator jump. Because what he did in the finals has to have his confidence saying, you know what, I can't be stopped. Now let's pray to God that when he goes to Brazil, that he doesn't come back with any type of injury.
Don't go
whatsoever.
Play in the ocean. I saw the new thing from CNN this morning that don't go play in the ocean. They're finding so much different kinds of bacteria and everything, and it's right where they're going to be doing the yachting or the sailing portion of the program. Don't drink the water. Don't come back with Zika. Don't get yourself in trouble. You know, get some law enforcement around you.
Well, I mean, let's just shoot to the chase. I mean, you're a young, single man.
Yeah.
In your 20s. You just won an NBA Finals Championship. And you're told you can go to Brazil where the women are just drop-dead gorgeous. It seems like there's something in the water. Maybe that's the problem with the water. I don't know. Not that part
maybe
of water,
not
though.
A bad thing.
but with that, though, so I get one of the reasons. And you can use it on the guys of he can build his brand, too. I get that. I totally understand that on multiple levels why he would make the jump to go to the Olympics and play. Because he's on the cusp of being recognized as a superstar. And if he goes to the Olympics and does what he did in the finals, watch out. Who's going to be able to tell Kyrie Irving anything? And LeBron, now that burden is off his shoulders, he'll be even more free. He'll play even better. Because I felt even though we won that game 7, that he started that game tight and tense.
Yes.
I don't care what people say.
That first half,
people
say,
well, he had a that didn't seem like a guy. That seemed like a guy who had the weight of the world on his shoulders, while Kyrie was the opposite in that spectrum of, hey, man, I'm just here to play.
Yep.
But I feel you're going to even get a better LeBron James. And people are saying, well, he's past his prime. On some levels, physically, he may be, but I don't really truly believe that to a full extent. Because I think with the way in which they manage him from a rest standpoint,
that's
you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, that's the key. Managing his minutes like they did, where he was super fresh at the once they got into the playoffs and especially in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, so, yeah, the Warriors have made a super power move like no other. But that doesn't guarantee the chemistry is going to be there. But one thing I will say is this. If Draymond Green will buy in and play selfless, if Klay will buy in and play selfless, and if Curry would do the same thing, which he stated allegedly to Durant that he's willing to do, then, yeah, you have something to reckon with. Because at the end of the day, with team sports, it comes back down to that. What's more important, self or team? It always comes back to that. And when it's about self, you fail. No, I don't care. Heck, it could be for your marriage. It could be for your fantasy league if you're working with someone. Whatever it is, it could be something as mundane as fantasy. However, again, if it's about team and working together, if you don't have that same sense that, hey, we're in this thing together and we have the same goals and aspirations, you're kidding yourself. So really the question is, can Steve Kerr, or will he need to do a heck of a coaching job to sell these guys on the idea that it's so important that they see this as an opportunity to do something even greater by looking at it from a team dynamic as opposed to, what's this do to me?
All right, we want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. on Kevin Durant going to Golden State. On the Browns, why are you optimistic? What makes you so optimistic about this football team as we are 24 days away from training camp? Coming up at 1:30 today, we'll have our CBD replay of the day. The guy is sitting down with Hollywood Higgins for his first ever appearance on Browns Daily. We'll replay that and revisit that. At 2 o'clock, we start our Browns 2016 opponent previews, and that includes the preseason games. And from Green Bay, Rob Demovsky, the ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter, will join us to give us a sneak peek at the 2016 Packers. We'll play After Further Review Weekend Edition, all that and more on a busy, busy Tuesday. Hope you had a good holiday weekend. We haven't even got into that yet. This is Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, back here with you on Cleveland Browns Daily. Gibbs and Gerard Sherry in for Nathan Segura and Matt Wilhelm, both on vacation this week. Gerard and I will be here today and tomorrow. Thursday and Friday, it is Dave DiNatale and myself.
The BG crew.
The BG crew takes over for 2 days. Are you doing college football again this fall? You doing some
I haven't heard anything yet, man, so the jury's out on that one.
Really?
Wait for the verdict.
Come on now. You got to get some action going.
Like, man, maybe they tired of me.
I doubt that highly. 216-578-0850.
Guys, we have what could be our most concrete piece of evidence ever that Dwayne Wade's coming to Cleveland. Our own Eric Williams. Great digging by Eric. The Cavs official Twitter just followed Dwayne Wade on Twitter.
Okay, that's fine.
How
Danny.
Is this going to happen?
Why? What does it do? Do you really think having D Wade here matches them signing Kevin Love? I mean, excuse me, signing Kevin Durant. Do you really, in your heart of hearts, think that that's apples to apples signing?
Financially, how can you make it work unless LeBron just goes, yeah, man, I'm sorry, Dwayne. I screwed you when I left, and you opted out, and you lost $10 million, and so I'll just take a $10 million hit this year, and then next year. I mean, the Cavs have to offer a three-year deal, and 3 years from now, I'm not sure if Dwayne Wade's going to be able to play basketball.
Right. Well, you got that working against him, but I do appreciate that, hey, it's helping LeBron fulfill one of his dreams, which is to re-engage with, yeah, with Dwayne Wade, as well as hopefully get, in his mind, Chris, as well as Carmelo here in Cleveland. I don't see how that's going to ever work. But if he can work towards that, I get it. But again, from a just straight basketball standpoint, I don't see how that signing would really even be in conversation in comparison to what the Warriors did from what's on paper standpoint of where KD is at in his contract right now, or in his career right now. Because think about Dwayne Wade. If we talk about Dwayne Wade from 6 or 7 years ago, no brainer.
Yeah.
But we're talking about Dwayne Wade, who's on the other side of his career. Can still give you some valuable input and can still make some things happen. Well, and you appreciate his experience.
And Reg said it earlier today. Reg, Guy, and Brenda were in on the Really Big Show. He said it to himself. You know, Dwayne Wade was a three-year player at Marquette. He's 3 years older than LeBron and Carmelo and all those guys that he came out with when he came out. You know, I mean, he's 34 years old. I mean, he will be 37 by the time that three-year deal is up.
And in this day and age, and we look at football, basketball, and baseball players, more so football and basketball players, like with dog years. But well, now how guys take care of their body – yeah, can you get something out of him? You totally can. So I don't know, man. It may happen, but I don't see it happening, Jay, just on the financials alone. Because if he was mad at $10 million being offered initially to him by the Heat, and now they're going, and now they're upping the ante to $20
million. Well, and that would, the only thinking would be, all right, look, here's what we can do this year. This is what we can do. This is only what we can do this year. But next year, the salary cap goes through the roof because the total TV deal kicks in.
Right.
And your contract for the next 2 years will be guaranteed at $25 and $30 million.
And what were the Heat really thinking? What were they trying to accomplish? Why would you – I understand because I just got through saying this last week. I wouldn't put myself in a Kobe Bryant Los Angeles Lakers situation either, where I'm paying some guy an absorbent amount of money and he can't even be on the court, and I'm making my season all about his farewell song and his swan song. No, I don't want that, because I think that goes again against the whole idea about it being for the team and about the team. So I get on some levels why you give him a lower offer, but don't come back and double it up and show signs of desperation, because all that's going to do is make him even more upset and frustrated with the fact that you came with that offer in the first place. Because if I'm Dwayne Wade, I'm saying to myself, for all I've done for this organization, it took you basically not getting who you want in free agency to give me my just due. You should have came with that $20 million from the get-go.
Yeah. I mean, I'm amazed at how the Heat have lowballed Dwayne Wade for everything that he's done.
But see, now let me put my player's cap on. And this is a side that fans won't understand unless they're in those shoes of where there is no loyalty in sports. You had asked me a question earlier, which I thought was a fantastic question. Why would you even bother to buy a jersey for any player? Because there is no loyalty in sports, does not exist, really, for the most part.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. You know, for players got to get paid.
Right.
And if they get, and like you said, if someone's willing to throw $72 million at you and you're one step out of the glue factory, you're going to take the $72 million and you're leaving whatever team you've only known.
Right.
Like Joe Kim Noah. You know, I just, why would you even buy a jersey? Because 5 years from now, that guy's probably not going to be on a team. I'm not even talking just NBA. I mean, in baseball, in football, there's no loyalty. Unless you're the star quarterback in the NFL, you're not. You can be gone tomorrow.
Even when there was a perception of loyalty in sports, there was no loyalty. So
yeah.
If you got hurt and if you could not, and this is just the underbelly of it all. If an organization can't make money off you, and if an organization feels that you can't help them with their bigger goal, be you available or not available, they're going to part ways from you. They're not going to engage you. That's the cold part of the business. You really are based upon what you can bring to the table monetarily. You can be the nicest, sweetest, greatest person of all time. But in that environment, that means absolutely nothing if you don't help with the bottom line of winning. And on the flip side of that, from a player's perspective, hey, man, if you're not going to pay me what I think my worth is, and that might be outrageous. And obviously, a basketball player's worth of $20 million is based upon contracts that you get for viewing it on television. We understand that. And we also understand,
the billion-dollar deals.
Exactly. So we also understand, too, there are much more important jobs and forms of escapism that we use in our culture. I shouldn't say more important because it's escapism, but there are much more important things like teachers and things of that nature who will never see that type of money for what they do. We get that. We've talked about that before. Yet, with the situation with Wade and the whole idea of loyalty and why there is no loyalty, whenever you have to go argue about what you're worth with somebody, that's going to already sever the relationship. And it can look pleasant and everyone can shake hands and smile, but it's never pure. It's never completely pure unless you own that team, unless you signed yourself to your own contract. And that's one thing even LeBron will tell you. Things with me, I'm talking about as if I'm LeBron, I'm always thinking, okay, and that's why I wasn't shocked by the decision. Not to bring up something bad, but I wasn't surprised by it. Because, again, yeah, you like to say you represent these letters, but when you understand that, hey, if I have an injury, if I do something that's not seen as an up and up, I'll be getting rid of.
Yeah.
And where's the loyalty
in that? What have you
done
for me lately?
So, I mean, there's a different – so really, if anything, there should be sports loyalty – and then the other definition of loyalty, because they're two separate entities, because they don't one doesn't truly exist in the realm of sports. It just doesn't. Because of the fact that Kevin Durant, Oklahoma City loves this guy. When I say loves, I mean they pour it out for him. Now, obviously, they love him because of what comes with it. He's brought them stature. Did you know where Oklahoma City was before he got there?
You knew about it,
but did you know about
it?
Did you even have any idea what the skyline looked like or if they even had a skyline?
No, I'll be honest. Speaking of morbid and speaking of something horrible, Oklahoma City, known for the bombing.
Timothy McVeigh.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what it was known for.
That's not even in the conversation no more because of what he and Westbrook were able to accomplish, Kevin Durant. So, Kevin Durant, yeah, he'll be bothered to a degree by it. But also in his mind, what he's saying is, hey, man, if I didn't win, if I wasn't as great as I am, these people wouldn't love me like that. And that's a hard thing to deal with as well, because there are some people who genuinely will love him for who he is. And that's the part where it separates the two. Yeah, you may love me for what I do on the court, what I do on the radio, but do you love me for me? And that you don't find out unless you're around me enough. So it's, again, we use these words like loyalty and love, and they really don't apply because it's not really being tested. It's just really being a misstatement of the words and a misuse of them because, again, you're not in a situation where you can really truly show it. Now, he could have showed loyalty and love by staying. He could have showed it. But in reality, is he really getting it as well?
Yeah. No question about it. 216-578-0850 to join in the conversation today. We'll talk some NBA with Kevin Durant, and we'll talk some NFL, talk some Browns news and whatnot as well. Coming up here after this timeout, though, it's our CBD replay.
CBD.
As Nathan and Matt sit down with Browns rookie wide receiver Hollywood Higgins. We'll hear that interview and more coming up. Rob Domofsky from the Packers, NFL Nation reporter for ESPN, will join us at 2 o'clock as we begin our opponent previews. We'll have after a further review, weekend edition at 2:30. All that and more. Gibbs and Cherry in on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All my steps, all my nose just turned to yes. Silently, I must confess my troubled history.
Back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, we actually are talking a little Cavaliers here today as well. And Gibbs and Gerard Sherry with you till 2 o'clock, coming up at, or I'm sorry, till 3 o'clock. Look at me trying to do a one-hour show today.
Hey, man.
Gerard was already saying, man, this two-hour show, because there's only 90 minutes left already.
Yeah, I'm just getting warmed up. It's a huge difference between 4 hours and 2 hours, obviously. 3 hours, that's – but 2 hours, just like, gosh, if I had to do an hour show.
By the way, the last time I think you were on Browns Daily, you were in the dog bowl, and you and Carucci were doing push-ups during commercial breaks.
That was the last
time?
You had
Carucci doing push-ups.
You know what?
And that might have been it.
I'm trying to think – who was the coach then?
Was that Chud? Or, I think that was first year of Patton. It had to be the first year of Patton.
I think you're right. Yeah. It was the first year.
It was first year of Patton. God, that is way back.
And
the fact we had to figure out which coach it was.
Yeah, that speaks volumes as well. But hopefully that won't be a problem moving forward, Jay, that we have that consistency. And what that entails is when you have that, you can do some things, man. It's really that simple. I already told you that this team is starting over 0-0, but in a bunch of categories. You got to learn new offense. That puts you behind the eight ball.
Yeah. No, that's consistency, consistency, consistency.
Times consistency.
So, Fontana, you mentioned it. The Cavs' official Twitter handle is now following Dwayne Wade?
Yes. So if you go to and we have to give Eric Williams credit for this. He figured this out.
Flock of Seagulls.
So if you – he cut his hair.
He did. I saw it today. I didn't recognize him.
So if you go to the Cavs, like official verified Cavs Twitter account, they follow 1,771 people. Now they have like 1.3 million. But if you click on it, oh no. Do you know who the most recent person that they followed is?
Who is that, Matt?
Gabrielle Union, a.k.a. Dwayne
Wade's
wife.
What is going on?
All right, let's get this straight. Because Winnie just reported from what my Twitter feed says, from someone sent me a tweet that
Twitter never lies, Gerard.
Yeah,
Twitter
exactly.
Never lies.
Well, let's just assume. Okay, is it true that D Wade is seeking $25 million?
Yes, I've seen that. That he wants more than two-year
deal, $25 million, yeah. Something to that effect, that magnitude. Considering the money that's about to be there, I get why he would go there. Obviously, if he's going to come in the Cavs, it won't be about money. It'll be about playing with LeBron, right? We all agree with that.
Correct.
Yes, and I would venture to say, this is just me, I would say it's almost a payback for, you know, thanks for coming to Miami, I'll come help you.
I'll do you a solid and come
right,
up here as
right,
well.
Right, right.
Yeah, and I could get down with that. But again, if you're out there saying, all right, that puts us on the same plane as what Golden State now has from a talent standpoint, I think you're kidding yourself. Not that Dwayne Wade is nobody's bum by any stretch of imagination. It's just he's an older player. Kevin Durant is in his peak years now. He's there.
Yeah. Ready or not, and the clock's ticking.
But see, this is the thing, though, with me and the Warriors. They did all this now appears to be false bravado about how they have this in order and how they're so far ahead of everyone else. And, yeah, you stay ahead of the curve by going out and acquiring talent. I get that, too, and I respect that. Yeah, but if you were truly all that, I'd be saying, you know what? Let's bring this same team that won 73 games back in its best we can.
Because we know we were hurt during the finals.
Right.
And they were hurt the year before.
So let's do it again. Exactly. Let's see with and hope that both teams get there and there are no injuries that come into play. Because both these finals were won because of injuries. Because I'm of the opinion that the Cavaliers would be two times in as champions had Kyrie or Kevin Love not gone out.
Yeah. No question about that. All right, we'll get into more with the Kevin Durant and the more important now Dwayne Wade watch. By the way, Wade canceling his meeting with the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow. No word from Craig Karmazin, Good Karma Brands owner and minority owner of the Bucks on what the situation is there. Offering no comments.
Heard that.
All right. We're going to be doing this through the month of July here as we get you ready for Brown season, and especially with the guys being on vacation. We don't want you to forget about Nathan and Matt. It's our CBD replay of the day. Earlier this offseason, Nathan and Matt had a chance to sit down with one of our favorites, Hollywood Higgins, joined the show for the first time to give his thoughts on Cleveland and being drafted by the Cleveland Browns.
What's going on, Hollywood?
Nothing, man. Just chilling, man. We just got done with practice. It was our first day with the vets, man, and it felt great to be out there.
Well, we got to see you in the rookie mini camp, and one word that everybody kept saying after watching, they're smooth, very smooth in and out of your breaks, good hands. You had the big 50-yard catch at First Energy Stadium. Yeah. What was it like for your first mini camp, getting out there with the guys and then playing in the stadium and making that big play like you did?
Well, it was my first time seeing the stadium. I was pretty shocked. All the fans that came out, man, I appreciate them. But, man, it felt great. It just felt great being back with the helmet on, getting in timing with Cody, seeing all the rookies out there, and just being back with a team that wants to win. It feels great.
Now, how much of it is, obviously there's 14 of you guys in this draft class. That's going to be talked about in four wide receivers. So you guys are going to be linked together. But how have you personally, kind of take it upon yourself to set yourself apart as an individual, not only from the other four wide receivers, but make your mark of an impact? Like, hey, I can play and play at a high level to those vets now that you're out there practice.
Oh, that just goes at practice, man. When I'm going against the vets, not only the vets but the rookies as well. I'm trying to show them I can actually be a route runner, that I can actually make those plays that they call me in here to do. So, I mean, when the time comes, I'm going to make my play. So that's what I got to do.
So you go from the rookie minicamp, you get a day off, and then all of a sudden, first day today with everybody. The veterans are there. And look, the reality of the National Football League is rookies are coming in to take the jobs of veterans.
Yeah.
What was it like out there for your first day working with alongside but also against the vets of the Cleveland Browns?
You know what? It was pretty fun, man. We had one-on-ones, and I didn't know what to expect. I thought it was just going to be rookies versus rookies, but, man, I lined up with a vet. He was across from me, man, and, I mean, they just want us to compete at the end of the day. They want to see what we're about, and I feel like that's what the rookies came out and did.
How familiar are you with the concepts that you're being asked to do in the passing game here? Is it some of the stuff that you did do at Colorado State? How similar or how different is it for you?
I say it's the similar concept, just different terminology. The way Coach Jackson, he calls it, and, I mean, you got different audibles and all that kind of stuff. So it takes time to get used to, and that's the hard part about it. But, I mean, it just takes time, and over time you'll get it. So
have you just been living in the playbook since you got
just
it?
Just living in it, man, and it's hard, man. I'm getting with the vets right now. I'm with Taylor Gabriel. I'm texting them, what do I got on this play? I'm in Cody's room at night asking them, hey, man, what do I got on this play, too? So, I mean, it just takes time, and that's all.
You referenced Coach Jackson, but, prior to jumping on the air during the break, you referenced Coach Jackson's coaching style and what you were used to at Colorado State that took you from 8-5 to 10-2. And just talk about that style and your experience in college and now what you're getting at the professional level.
Well, it's that hard coaching that I think coaches have to make teams want to win. It's not only the coaches, but it's got to be driven into the players as well. I just feel like, man, it can't just be a coach's thing to want to win. It's got to be the players as well. So we got to come out with that same mentality when we come into practice and on game days that we want to win just like the coaches want to win.
You go to your Twitter handle, @callme_wood, and you look on your bio, and this is what it says. Should have never doubted, 18-172.
Yes, sir.
What does that mean?
You know, I don't feel like I should have got drafted where I was at. 18 guys went ahead of me, and I was at pick 172. But you know what? I got a chip on my shoulder because I feel like I was the best one in this draft. So I'm going to play like it every day at practice. And I got that same mentality coming through this season. So, man, y'all watch out and be ready for me.
And someone who's going to help you play at an extremely high level this year is your receiver coach, Al Saunders. Yeah. He was in the building the day after Hugh Jackson was hired. So he was his first call. And Hugh continues to reference him and the impact that he has as one of the best in the league. What's your first impression of dealing with Coach throughout the weekend and even today out on the football field?
Well, Coach, man, he has a lot of stories for us. He tells us who we're similar to and all this kind of stuff. He always tells us a lot of stories. But, man, he's a great at the end of the day. He tells us we have to come out and we want to win just like Coach Jackson. So, I mean, they have the same similar things in common. So, I mean, at the end of the day, winning is winning.
Can you believe how much energy Al Saunders has?
I mean, he has a lot of energy. He has a lot of energy.
Has he chased you down yet after you made a catch?
Yeah, yeah. It's funny you say that because him and the assistant coach, they chase us down just about every other play when we're making a big play. So, yeah.
That's good. So, who did he say that you remind him of?
I'm not sure, but it's funny you say that. What's the guy's name that's on our team? I forgot his name right now, but he told me I remind him of Marvin Harrison. I think.
Okay.
If
not bad.
So
you'll take that. Yeah. You'll take that career right now. Yeah. Sign you up. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So as you go through the OTAs, what are your goals for this period of time? Because obviously, when you look at it, the fact of the matter is that wide receiver room is wide open. I mean, there may be some veteran guys there, but there aren't people that are, you know, your Amari Cooper, someone you were a Blitnikoff Award finalist with. There aren't those guys in that room. So it is an open competition. What are you hoping to accomplish in the OTA and the mini camp to position yourself for training camp?
Well, the biggest thing the vets tell me to get used to is the playbook. That's the biggest thing. They say I got the talent, so don't even worry about the talent at the end of the day because you have it. Just worry about the playbook, know it inside and out, and you'll be good at the end of the day.
And last question for me, and we know you got to run, is if – and you told us a little bit about this already, but if you had a message to our fans, the Dog Pound, about what to expect from Hollywood Higgins, what would you say to them?
Dog Pound, be ready to go to the playoffs this year, baby. We want to win. We have the winner's mentality, and that's all I have to say. We're going to win. We're more than three games, guaranteed. That's it, baby.
Let's go. Keep winning. All right, I have to ask you this one because you're a guy who caught a lot of touchdowns, obviously, at Colorado State. The Cardiac Kid, one of our followers here on the show, he's been asking for you from the second we were drafted. He wanted you on the show, so he's fired up about it.
Yeah.
This is I asked him, what question would you ask Hollywood Higgins? Here's what he said. How many touchdown dances do you have, and what are they? Do they have names?
I do have a touchdown dance in mind that I want to do. Like the Hollywood, the whole background. So when I score, I'm gonna act like I'm putting on a tie and getting my business. So y'all be looking for it, man. I got it up my sleeve, so I'm gonna pull it out when the time comes.
We certainly will be happy to watch you do a touchdown celebration because that means 7 points on the board for the Browns.
All right, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and Hollywood Higgins. Today's CBD replay. And, you know, so much being made of our number one pick. But I think Higgins and those other two wide receivers that we took in the draft got to play some big roles this year for this football team.
Oh, they're going to have to step up because when you look at the roster, and I'm not taking no shots at anyone, but if you were evaluating, you would say, what is the biggest question mark on this roster? You would say the wide receiver position. You have an influx of youth, which is what you needed because you weren't getting done. Yes, you let a couple veterans go away because of contract issues or whatnot, but that's part of the game. We understand that. We get that. And to a large degree, we have to respect that. So as a young player, this is your opportunity. So yes, Hollywood, make sure you are celebrating because the world is at your doorstep right now. because you're going to have a great opportunity to play early on in your career. A significant amount of snaps if you approach it the right way. So, yes, if he takes advantage of his opportunity, which is going to be presented to him, Jay, he could be a household name because, heck, Hollywood Higgins, alliteration right there is working for him. So he can't
Amen
go
to
wrong.
That.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no question about that. All right, break time for us. When we come back, it'll be the Browns 2016 opponent preview corner as we start 16 days of opponents. 16, I believe. Maybe it's 17.
Unless you count preseason.
We do count preseason. We're counting the preseason games. Actually, because we don't do, we only do one day of Bengals.
I was going to say
Ravens,
the Bengals, the Ravens, the Steelers are only one.
18, 19, 20. Okay. So 17.
17.
We got 17 days. It'll take us up to the Wednesday before training camp starts. And we'll start it off with the Green Bay Packers on the Browns opponent corner. Rob Domofsky from ESPN NFL Nation, the Packers reporter there, will join us when we return. Hour number one in the books on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.